Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
I'm joined in studio now by renowned conductor David Brophy, who has been working on a series of shows that paying tribute to the giants of Irish music, both past and present. Good morning, David. How are you?
Morning, Philip. I'm good, thanks.
You were at the Curramore Castle Estate in Waterford with the RTE Concert Orchestra for All Together Now Festival. I gather it was quite a special event.
We had a great time. We were first on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and we did an hour-long set paying tribute to three legends, three greats from Irish music who we lost last year. Initially Christy Dignam and then Sinead O'Connor and Shane McGowan at the end. So we did an hour set of their iconic hits, and people just loved it. And it's good to, I mean, even though we've lost those towering figures of Irish music, they leave a legacy behind, and I suppose those songs will always be played.
They will, but not necessarily by a full orchestra. What are the challenges in orchestrating pieces like that? Well, we have to treat them artist by artist, really, don't we? So I suppose you look at Christy Dignam, first of all, those big anthemic numbers like Crazy World, they probably lend themselves to an orchestra quite easily.
They kind of all do, Philip, because I had a chat with, luckily had Spider Stacey from the Pogues who took five of the Pogues numbers in our set. And I was chatting to him beforehand and saying, you know, it's what the orchestra brings is that extra bit of emotion. And like all those songs, the songs that Christy sang, that Sinead sang, that Shane McGowan sang, they're all storytelling about love, loss, life, everything. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the word that Spider used was that it's kind of a cinematic. So when you start a song and you've got the strings come in, it just gives an extra bit of emotion that a band on its own can't really do. And like, I would know that Shane and Christy and Sinead, they were all, to various extents, they were all well-versed in what you referred to classical music. They all knew all sorts of music, and all the musicians I've worked with, no matter what style of music they come from, they know all sorts of other types of music as well.
Who does the orchestration for these gigs? Who actually sits down and works out what part is going to be played by
whom? We have a very talented man called Gavin Murphy, and he does a lot of the orchestrations for the RTE Concert Orchestra, and he sits down with a song, and then he delves into his creative muse and comes out with all the notes for second violins, violas and clarinets and bassoons.
And when all of the musicians in the orchestra first see the sheet music, do they go flipping straight through to find, you know, where's my part?
It's a good question. They go into the library, and the fantastic Mary Adams has all the, they have folders. So you've got a French horn folder, first horn folder, mm-hmm. You have second flute folder, you have second violin folder, and all the music that they need for the concert is in the folder. And when they just get their parts. So they only actually really know what the arrangement is like when they sit down and play it with the whole orchestra.
God, that must be quite hard.
It's very difficult, and that's why they're so supremely talented. Yeah, yeah. And that's why we should cherish what they do. And it is
difficult. It is like handing an actor a movie script,
yes,
with only their own lines and no plot, nobody else's lines.
It's a good analogy, yeah. But they are super, super fast. So you look at the number of concerts that the RTE Concert Orchestra will do in a year. Their reaction times and speeds, even now, still stun me. What they do in a rehearsal, like we would rehearse on Saturday for the concert on Sunday, they're super quick readers. They're like thoroughbreds. Okay. They're amazing.
You worked with Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah, luckily. Yeah, many years ago at Belfast Festival of Queens, about 10 or 15 years ago.
And I know she was in studio anyway, incredibly exacting and forensic in the detail that she looked for. What was it actually like with her on stage?
It was extraordinary. And it was I remember clearly in rehearsal, the day before the concert, she said very, very little, because she didn't have to. I mean, and when she started singing, you just knew exactly what to do. And I just knew exactly, when you look at the orchestration, look what the orchestra are doing, this needs a little bit extra emotion here. We need to get into the string a bit more here. All you had to do is listen to her and react. And she said hardly anything. And on the concert, she said hardly anything. She was amazing. She communicated solely through music on those few days. I was very lucky to work with her.
Not for an artist and not for a personality of the size of Sinead's perhaps, but I would imagine that for any vocalist, standing in front of a full orchestra must be quite intimidating. You think, oh my God, I'm going to get absolutely bulldozed by this sound.
We were actually saying to Spider, Stacey was saying to me on Saturday in rehearsal, said, oh God, I'm a bit nervous. because it is, you stand in front of like 50, 60 musicians. It is kind of, can be intimidating, you know? And that's why Spider, eventually after the first three numbers we rehearsed on Saturday, he just closed his eyes. And when he closes his eyes, you can see him close his eyes. The sound completely changes. And Sinead was the same, and Christy was the same. When they close their eyes, they delve into something deeper inside themselves. And that's where the magic comes out, I think.
All right, let's move it along a little bit here. There's going to be an opportunity you are going to offer us very soon to compare slash contrast Irish and Scottish trad. Tell me about that.
Well, we've got a fascinating concert, and a concert that I'm greatly looking forward to, have been looking forward to for a number of months now, called Erin and Alba, Ireland and Scotland, and it's in the National Concert Hall this Friday, tickets from nch.ie, and it's featuring the fantastic Zoe Conway and her husband John McIntyre, and it's also featuring Julie Fowlis and her husband Eamon Durley. And Julie is from North Uist in the Outer Hebrides in Scotland. And Zoe's obviously Irish and is steeped in traditional Irish music, mm-hmm. but Julie's steeped in traditional Scottish music, or Scots Gaelic music. And so we've
huge
a concert featuring. Well, I always like to think music, if music is a language, I always sort of think about language first. And Julie's a native Scots Gaelic speaker, and Zoe speaks Irish as well, and John speaks Irish as well. When you think about those languages, where they were kind of the same up until about the 12th or 13th century, and then they separated. And I think when you listen to traditional music from both Ireland and Scotland, they sound very similar, but they are, on close inspection, very distinct and very different.
This is Zoe Conway's Rounding Malinhead, performed by herself and John McIntyre, with, of course, the RT Concert Orchestra. That's exciting, isn't it? Where else are you taking that other than just the concert hall?
We're doing the same concert in Wexford on Saturday for Flakil na hÉireann, and we're great looking forward to that as well. But the fascinating thing I think about this concert is people probably might know, they'll know Zoe Conway. I think a lot of people know Zoe Conway here, but Julie Fowlis, people won't know. But if they're following TG Carr regularly, Julie fronted a programme with Mira na Cowley. Called Port or Pushed, as mm-hmm, some people call mm-hmm. it in Scotland. Fantastic programme on TG Carr. I think it was produced in 2015, where they looked at the music of Scotland and Ireland. They also travelled to northern France, to Brittany and parts of Galicia, and looked at what might be seen as kind of
Celtic family
music, and looked at difference in music and what music does, traditional music, where it comes from, how it feeds into other things like language, like food, like how people gather together, like social structures, and how people, like family occasions, things like that. And that, I think this concert on Friday kind of delves into that, where it's almost the live version of people who would have seen that series many years ago.
Now, somebody who's almost a part of your extended family in the concert orchestra is Sean Keane. What are you doing with him?
We've luckily worked with Sean for years, and we have a concert at the National Concert Hall on the 30th of August. And every time we do concerts with Sean brings something. I mean, we all like to think that we bring something special to any of the musicians we work with, but I think Sean brings something special to us. He's such a kind of, I think, an intimate performer. I almost refer to him as a musical poet, what he brings to a song. And I'm great looking forward to that concert on the 30th of August.
Sean Keane, Shenandoah, and the RT Concert Orchestra as well, obviously.
Shenandoah, I'm bound to see.
that all day.
It's great, isn't it? Like, it's just, it's there's an earthiness to Sean's voice, and with the harp in the background, almost kind of celestial, heavenly. You know, you get the skies on the ground, the heaven and the earth in the one place. It's amazing.
Obviously, there are going to be fans for Zoe Conway's work. There's a huge fan base for what Sean Keane does. You have your own fans. How different and new an audience do you reach on the music festival circuit? Who comes and sits down and watches you?
Yeah, it's a good question. We had a very mixed crowd on Sunday altogether now, and from the very young to very old. But I'm stunned is when I look out and we do...
Which is hard for you to do because you've got your back to
yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I turn around and a sneaky
eyes
look
in the back
out.
Of your
yeah,
head.
Eyes in the back of the head, yeah. Like we did Dirty L Town, and to look back and you see people who are like kids who are 10, 11 years of age singing along with their parents or even grandparents in places. And you kind of realise this is such a universal language and our audience, and we are so lucky in the Concert Orchestra. I think we're so lucky in Ireland. Irish people are very open to different languages and sounds and musics, mm-hmm. you know. It's something very special to look out into an audience and see like such a wide age group, like spanning 70, 80 years from various different generations. And they're all singing the same tunes, singing the same songs. We're, you know, when you kind of, I know we kind of wear it heavily at times, our this notion that we're a musical nation, but we are a very musical nation, not just how we play music, but how we interact with it, how we engage with it, how we listen to it. And I think we're very fortunate in this country to have open-minded listeners who are open to all sorts of sounds.
And even the most unmusical of persons, individuals, will,
they don't
course,
exist, and, Philip. But, they but, don't
no,
exist.
No, but even somebody who's no experience, if they stand in front of a full, whatever it is, 50-piece orchestra, they are just going to absolutely be blown away by that sound and that wall of sound alone. David Brophy, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks,
more
Philip.
Details on these concerts, www.rte.ie/CO. Let us take a break.